speak the truth without love, it can be brutal. But then there are times that there's no way to speak the truth to someone who is not going to receive it without being perceived as being brutal. You can be right, you can be gentle with it, and you've let them have the truth, and they're going to accuse you of all sorts of things nonetheless. Well, let that happen. But in your heart, in our heart, when we speak the truth, may we have it seasoned with grace.
This is Cross Reference Radio with our pastor and teacher, Rick Gaston. Rick is the pastor of Calvary Chapel, Mechanicsville. Pastor Rick is currently teaching through the book of Ephesians. Please stay with us after today's message to hear more information about Cross Reference Radio, specifically how you can get a free copy of this teaching. But for now, let's join Pastor Rick as he teaches through Ephesians chapter 4 on today's edition of Cross Reference Radio.
You can see this evolution, which is really a devolution. It's really a going backwards of man when he moves from God and begins to assign to God things that God never assigned to himself. You don't like it when someone does it to you. God doesn't like it when someone does it to him. Well, now what we have are these neo-atheists. They're not just those who say, I don't believe God exists. They are infuriated that anyone else believes that he exists. And they are actively trying to convince people to stop believing in God and start believing in nothing. And they're in the universities everywhere. And they're increasingly being found in the workplace. And this is the fulfillment of what the Lord said. The end times are going to produce these things. And then we have a confused church in this sense. They can't even cast a vote the right way. They cannot vote the Bible. They cannot read the scripture and say, hey, morality in the scripture is just as dependable as 2 + 2 = 4 to mathematics or arithmetic. 2 + 2 = 4. I don't care how you do it. Morality in the scriptures is always morality in the scriptures. You shall not kill. You shall not have any other gods before me. Spiritual morality and morality with human beings. You shall not steal. You shall not have your neighbor's wife. You shall not covet. And on it goes. But we are in a society where they don't want this. This is an impediment to the flesh. They want free from this. Well, it's in the churches. The churches cannot vote for people who are moral. They vote for people who are immoral. They try to empower those who empower others to go against Jesus Christ. Well, we have a Supreme Court that is like 80% dumb. I mean, really? It's like, what is, and it's been this way. It's not just this group. It's like, what, you know, one of them, I know under that robe, and you know it's true. She's got a broom. There's no question. And you say, oh, that's not nice. I don't care. It's true. These people, any chance they get, anything that comes up that is righteous, they seem to hate it. Where does this come from? Why is their compass damaged like this? The murder of the unborn is just one of many of them. So we have Christians voting for people who vote that way. You may not agree with that. Look, I don't agree with Mitt Romney's, for example, views on religion. But he's not actively trying to destroy Christianity as the one he's running against is. I don't care if people don't like it. I don't care if the government doesn't like me saying this. I believe in a separation of church and state. You stay on your side, I'll stay on my side. I'll preach what God says for me to preach and you shut up. That's fair. That's fair. I'm not telling you who to vote for, but I am telling you that you better vote for Jesus Christ when you enter that booth. And if you choose to empower those who are trying to shut you up, who say, look, I don't appreciate you trying to point the way to heaven, and I'm going to stop you from doing it. I just saw a headline, one of the universities in Indiana trying to have freedom of speech zones. These are our elite. These are the educated. They will allow any moron up into their assembly rooms to spew out their knowledge, but they don't want you to have freedom of speech anywhere you find yourself. And on it goes. Most of you know these things. I'm just kind of getting it all out. Let's pray. It has to be said. You know, I can't vote for a Mormon. Then you can't vote. If that's the only criteria you have, you don't understand it. If you would rather empower an antichrist over someone who does not share your religious views, you don't get it. Okay, I'm back. You'd think it's simple. You'd think it's so easy that it's black and white. And it's not. It's not black and white. Because Satan is actively blinding people. Look, it is more deeper than who's going to be the president of the United States. It's much more deeper. Who is going to be the prince of the United States? Who is going to shut the Christian up? Tell me what country on earth at this time in history is doing for the gospel what the Christians in this country are doing. It's not matched. There are others that are making an effort. There are others that are trying to wake it up. But no one is where we are. No one. And the devil knows that. Our support for Israel. Look, you say, well, the whole abortion thing, if that wasn't enough to do you in, read Genesis 12, verses 1 and 2, and see what God says about his people. If you curse them, you're going to get it. If you are voting to empower someone that is going against Israel, fine. Just don't go buddying up to Christ and saying you're good with him, because you're not. I don't know how you can be a Christian and champion the destruction of Israel at the same time. I don't know how you can do that. I don't know how you can pray to Buddha and also say that you're a Christian at the same time. Not only do I not know how you can do that, God doesn't know how you can do that. Well, okay, I didn't mean to spend that time, so much time on that, but I meant every word of it. I'm Rick Gaston, and I approve of this message. Praise God. But you know, this is righteous anger, and it is in the scripture. And we're going to get to it sometime in this century in a chapter 4 of Ephesians. I'm going to just jump to this because I can't wait. And it's not impatience, it's urgency. Paul says in this very chapter that we are studying in verse 4, well, in verse 20, pardon me, verse 26, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down in your wrath, nor give place to the devil. I'm not giving him an inch. If he has convinced someone else to champion his causes, I'm not agreeing with him. And I'll go further than that. You know, this is a verse that many people like to use for marriages. You know, don't go to bed angry at each other. Well, look, I don't know how you do that. Not that every night I go to bed angry. Probably almost never. But if, you know, I just can't put on a happy face because it's midnight, you know, or whatever time it is. Oops, 8 o'clock, smile. I don't think the verse means that. Now, I'm not encouraging you to say, well, you know, the pastor said I can go to bed pretty peeved at you, so mean face. It's not it either. What I think this verse has to do with, stop being seduced. If you are angry at injustice, if you are angry at immorality, if ungodliness and unholiness and meanness, if these things get you, stay that way. Don't start saying, well, they're really not that bad. Once you get to know him, yeah, he's a cannibal, but you know, he's really a good guy underneath. Underneath a fallen tree, maybe. And this is what's happening. You've got churches that, well, you know, they used to hate these certain sins. Now they've got, you know, it's in their youth ministries. They've let the sun set on their righteous indignation. Nothing bothers them anymore. This was the problem in Corinth when Paul said, you've got a guy there with his father's wife. If I could just get my hands around, you know, what is wrong with you? And you're boasting about how gracious you are. We're the forgiving church. We have this pervert over here, and we're going to let him teach next Sunday. And so he says to the Corinthians, I burn with indignation all the time. Now, he's going to separate this in Ephesians. He's going to go back to, in Ephesians 4, and he's going to qualify this. And he's going to say, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. So he's going to make the distinction. He's saying, you know, the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. But this is not the wrath of man. This is Christians saying, I categorically reject evil. I'm not going to act like it's something that I can endure. I have to endure it many times, but I don't want to. And I'm not going to change my positions because everybody else is. I'm not going to change my positions nor hide my position because I have to do that to get a degree or get a promotion or anything else. Where do we stand? At some point, we've got to say enough. And I don't agree. Again, I don't appreciate that there are antichrists in government trying to outlaw Christianity and muzzle the pulpit. And if you say, where is this happening? Read the papers. Oh, don't look at CNN. You'll never find anything there. That's the complete noodlehead network. I mean, sometimes you read the papers, you say, what are they doing now? And other times it's, man, this is just evil. It just doesn't stop. No one ever celebrates, you know, hey, your wife parked the car, fine. It's never a headline. It's like, hey, dad's home. That's like, ooh, that's news. It's always, well, we got to find something morbid. And when something morbid happens, oh, man, it's the news blitz. It's all, you can't get away from it. So, here we are. Let not be angry and do not sin. Don't let the sun set on your wrath when it comes to wickedness. See, we got to the 26th verse just that quickly. Well, we'll come back to that, but right now we are verse 14. And here he's continuing to say what I've been trying to express in terms for us today, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in cunning craftiness or deceitful plotting. We're not supposed to be tossed. God has given to the church pastors to stabilize the flock so that when we start to move off, we move right back on. Why? Because he's read from the scripture. He's led us to green pastures. He's doling out the word and we're receiving it. I too. It's not like I just come here to preach down to you. I don't come here to preach down to you ever. But I too, I need to be fed. And I read the works of others who've gone before me. And they keep me straight, and they feed me. They open up for me the word of God. And this is what God has given to the church. You know, when it says in verse 8, therefore, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. That is a move of a conquering king. We talked about this in Daniel. But in Daniel, it was the wicked king, or wicked, you know, king of Syria, Antiochus. And when he conquered, he gave gifts to his cronies. He sought to buy them. This was what the kings did oftentimes. The Caesars would do this. The generals would do this. But our Lord, our King, is righteous. And when he conquered sin on the cross, he gave gifts to the church. Doma, again, is the Greek word there. And the gifts is this system that we have. And when you find a Christian kicking against the system that God has created, you find a Christian in confusion, and if we can gently set them straight, we would all benefit from it. When you come to church, you're going to have problems with other people, so be ready. But it's still somehow glorious. It's still a wonderful place to be. Look forward to go to church. It is a gift from God. The world, they look forward to going out to a restaurant. Well, we have that too. They don't have what we have in this particular field of life. So he says that we should not be tossed to and fro like children. You know, unschooled, immature, not knowing what it's about. Being pushed around this way and that way, unstable in our thoughts. By every wind of doctrine. Have you met someone like that? They believe this week, then they believe that next week. And whatever the latest fad is, they're doing it. It says, by the trickery of men and cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Verse 15, but in contrast to this, speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things to him who is the head, Christ. Well, not all men are deserving of love, but all men need it. That's where we come in. That's where we're supposed to come in. The world is so confused about love that if a man steps into the pulpit and preaches the truth and it doesn't agree with their lifestyle, they think he's not loving. They would rather him lie to them, and they would call that loving. See, I like that. It doesn't matter if it's true or not. I like it. This is something that we are supposed to identify as Christians and address whenever given the opportunity. Now, I've said many times before that to speak the truth without love, it can be brutal. But then there are times that there's no way to speak the truth to someone who is not going to receive it without being perceived as being brutal. You can be right, you can be gentle with it, and you've let them have the truth, and they're going to accuse you of all sorts of things nonetheless. Well, let that happen. But in your heart, in our heart, when we speak the truth, may we have it seasoned with grace, kindness. And even when we are angry and not letting the sun go down on our wrath, we have to know where our boundaries are that Christ has set for us. We're not to sin in the administration of the gospel. Speak the truth in love and grow up in all things. We ought to mature. Peter said, grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, into him who is the head, Christ. I said, the Old Testament's like the torso. The New Testament's like the head. And it is Christ Jesus who is in charge of the church and no one else. And anything with two heads is defective. It's not the way it was supposed to be. I mean, you know, granted, there are, you know, Siamese twins, as we call them. It's not the way it was meant to be. Something's wrong there. You know, it is supposed to cause us pause. There are many things in life that we as Christians cause us to stop and think about, how does this relate to the gospel? Because if we don't do that, Satan's going to come in and try to tear the gospel down any chance he gets. And here's an example. I saw that there was this dolphin grieving over the death of its calf. And, you know, you look at that and you say, wow, animals grieve. Well, the person who rejects Christ will try to make a link to that and this, you know, this commonness that we're all the same and, you know, we shouldn't eat the animals and on they will go. They're not the only animal that we know grieves. Dogs grieve. Musk ox grieve. There's many of them. They also have two eyes, and so do I. And, you know, they also have a tongue, and so do I. These similarities do not make us identical. They do not make us equals. They do point to a common factor that there is one creator, and he shows up in his creation in many ways. As Paul's talked about that in Romans, he says, you know, we should take it, Romans chapter 1, since I was planning to read from here anyway. He says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. You see, there's God's wrath on righteousness, and we're like him without sin. Though, he continues, who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Do you know how many news editors are going to be in hell simply because they made a living out of suppressing the truth? God is not, it's not like, oh, that's just a little thing. I mean, how many times, they won't tell you that. They won't tell you that it was this person and that because they don't want to offend those groups. We talked about that a few weeks back in England. They didn't want to point out the child molesters because they were Muslims. They were afraid to say it. And so they covered up. The police covered it up. They didn't even act. It's insanity. And God calls this out in the scripture. And he also says, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power, the Godhead, so that they are without excuse. And so he continues, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Now listen to this. Professing to be wise, they became fools. There's no such thing as wisdom without God. Knowledge is to learn something. Wisdom is the proper use of what you've learned. It's the proper application of knowledge. And because a person can get straight A's or amass data does not in and of itself mean that they are correct. A person can change a flat tire on a car. Doesn't mean they know everything. Doesn't mean they're right with God. Doesn't mean they figured it out. That's reducing it down, but pushing it way up. A person can be an Einstein and be lost in their sins and have no knowledge of how men truly are and where all this is going. Look at Stephen Hawkins, I believe his name is. I mean, just a rank God hater. Just I want to look at his creation and I don't want to give him credit for it. It's forgery. He's signing someone else's name to what God has done. It's plagiarism. Universities really don't like that, they say. I'm not against the universities as learning institutions. I am against espousing things that aren't true. I think, again, our public schools, you send your child to learn how to read and write, and they decide they're going to teach them about life. That's not their privilege. What has happened, it's not their right, but it is their power. Why is it their power? Because people have given them this power. And this is what we must understand as Christians, that people have the power to do things that is not their right. God is looking at earth and he says, yeah, they have the power to do it, but it's not their right. And because I am long-suffering, because I grieve over this, don't misunderstand, I will deal with this, but understand this, Christian, the words long-suffering and grieve are love words. You cannot long-suffer and grieve in the context of Scripture without love. You do not grieve for that which you do not love. If you lose an enemy, you don't grieve the loss of the enemy. We're not to rejoice and dance in the streets over it either. But my point is God grieves because God is love. God has allowed man the power, but he's never given up the right. That power was taken in Eden, and God said, this game is going to play to the end. I am not going to interrupt it because I will have from this creation of mine that which I set out to get. And what did God set out to get when he created Adam and Eve? Beings who would love him. And he's going to get that. And he is getting that. And he will get it. He says now in verse 15, he says, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into in all things into him who is the head, Christ. Christianity is Christ. And if you're going to be a Christian, you're going to need stamina. You're going to need your brains. And you're going to need your heart. You're going to have to last through. You're going to have to think. And you're going to have to care. And if you don't have those three things, you're going to hide your armor or you're going to fight for the wrong team. He continues on verse 16, from whom the whole body, this is the church, the assembly, joined and knit together. This is the local assembly. By what every joint supplies. And he's using the growth of a human body or any body according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Well, when you consider these scripture verses and what Jesus has to say, if you have an indifferent attitude, you will probably get better at having an indifferent attitude. If you're not passionate about God when you have been exposed to him, I don't know how you recover from that. I don't know how, if God can't wow you, if God cannot draw you, if God does not impress you, if you have put walls up so you refuse to let him do this, I don't know how that can be overcome. The writer to the Hebrews says, if we neglect so great a salvation, you're done. There's nothing anyone can do. If you're here this morning and you don't believe in the Lord and you've gotten good at stiff-arming him, you will get better at it. And then you will drop dead one day. And then it gets worse. So when they're trying to scare me, consequences are severe. And they're not very forgiving. Death is not forgiving if you die without the Lord. What is your passion in life, Christian? Is it your children? Is it your job? Is it your hobby? Is it vacation time? What is your passion? What is always burning in the background in your heart? I think the born-again Christian who's been spirit-filled always has burning in their heart the name of Jesus. It's just he's just always there. No matter what is going on, even when I'm doing wrong, even when I'm confused, even when I'm struggling with faith, I know he's there. And I know you know that because I've seen, you know, those of you who are spirit-filled, I've seen you sing songs to the Lord. I've seen you worship. And in that worship comes out oftentimes what's in our hearts, where we stand, because we get excited about articulating our praise, our adoration, our courage our Lord's loftiness.
Thanks for tuning in to Cross Reference Radio today. Cross Reference is the daily radio ministry of Pastor Rick Gaston of Calvary Chapel, Mechanicsville, in Virginia. If you'd like more information about this ministry or want to listen to additional teachings from Pastor Rick, please visit our website, crossreferenceradio.com. We also encourage you to subscribe to our podcast so you'll never have to miss a program. Just search for Cross Reference Radio in iTunes, Google Play Music, or your favorite podcast app. We're glad we were able to spend time with you today. We hope you'll tune in again next time to join us as we continue our study through the book of Ephesians with Pastor Rick. That's right here on Cross Reference Radio.